conscious couples, business partners, and singles committed to attracting their dream partner. Welcome to the Conscious Couples Podcast, where we share our life, love story, and combined relationship expertise to help you create and consistently cultivate the most magnificent intimate relationship possible.
Never again will you feel hopeless and alone in your intimate relationship challenges.
Having accumulated thousands of hours coaching conscious couples and individuals all over the world, as well as starting and growing a global business together, Alan and I are here to guide you and all things relationships.
Thank you again for tuning into the one place where it's not about you or me, it's about the we. Conscious couples and singles from all over the world, welcome back to the one and only Conscious Couples Podcast. Today, Emilia and I may or may not have some sniffles, so our voices will be a little different today. Today, we have episode number 110, which partner thinks more long-term? So already right there is a juicy topic. Which partner thinks more long-term? Okay, before we jump into this episode, I want to thank Next Level Podcast Solutions for producing this podcast and 50 others. If you are out there and you want to start, grow, scale, monetize a podcast, please let us know, because I'm going to introduce you to Kevin, my business partner, who is the guy for that. And Next Level Podcast Solutions might help you grow and scale your show. Before we jump into this episode, my love...
My intention.
What is your intention? Ladies first.
My intention for our listeners is to help each and every single one of you, even though you are different from your partner. My intention is to make sure that those differences bring you two together, not apart.
Okay. So the question at hand is, which partner thinks more long term? So we were coaching a couple that we adore. And this sort of came up. That's where we get a lot of our ideas, is just in the real world with real couples. Because you think these are you issues when in reality they're not. No. These are human issues. These are relationship issues.
Right.
And issues is a loose term, challenges.
Yeah.
So one of the partners, when she thinks really long term, would get really overwhelmed and stressed out. And she wants to be a little more creative and more in the flow of thinking maybe 3 months, 6 months down the road and kind of going with the flow, so to speak.
Right.
The male in the relationship, in this case, happens to reverse engineer finish lines and is thinking about 10 years from now and thinking about the next home and the next XYZ. And so what happens is they're sort of missing each other in the communication piece, because when the male in the relationship will always keep this private and anonymous... is asking questions. He's asking closing questions. What's the correct term?
Close-ended questions.
Close-ended questions. So he'll ask like yes or no questions about the future that will sort of stress the female in the relationship out. And she wants to express, and he wants to be more involved. And so he's asking these questions to try to be more involved in the logistics of the day-to-day toward their future. And the female's getting stressed out and feeling caged by the questions, because it's not open-ended sort of questions of expression. And so Emilia's been studying questions for a long time. She used to, in the beginning of our relationship, say, hey, can you maybe ask a little bit more of an expansive open-ended question? And I didn't know what the hell she was talking about, to be honest, because I am sort of the opposite. So I think I struggle with asking open-ended questions, because I'm trying to drill down to get an answer versus the more creative, maybe feminine expression. So,
yeah, well, here's the thing, and this wasn't unique to this couple. We've actually seen this happen multiple times. When we ask people on relationship talks coaching, or let's say, for example, relationship talks event, we'll say, you know, what's the number one thing that couples struggle with? And what is that number one thing that couples have the most challenge with?
Communication.
Communication continues to take the garden with that, or take the number one spot, if you will. And so What does that actually mean in context to this? Well, you know, this one couple, as our lovely example, is really that shining light, that shining example as to what the challenge was on the surface that they experienced, and how through using us in relationship talks coaching helped them to kind of whittle down into what was that root of one of those issues. So on the surface, it presented itself like it does in many relationships. Well, we're not really feeling connected. We're not really working together well as a team. You know, I don't really feel involved with each other's lives. I want to have deeper conversations and I want to connect at a deeper level with my partner, but I feel like I can't do that. Or I feel like there's a wall that's impermeable when it comes to me and my partner actually getting that deeper sense of connection. And while, like we mentioned at the very beginning, while that might feel like a you problem or a you challenge, this happens far more frequently than we give it credit to. So I'm really grateful that we can share this couple's experience anonymously so that we can highlight the benefits of really, like I said, to my intention, helping every single one of our listener really celebrate in the differences and what makes you guys unique and special in your relationship to be able to leverage some of the basic components of psychology when it comes to relationships to help you to grow together and not apart. So at the very surface, the couple presented itself, expressed itself as the couple not feeling connected. Why is that? Because they're not communicating. Why is that? Well, because when you think about it, at the very bottom, one individual in this relationship, the male, he did exactly what Alan said. He asked closed-ended questions. Why should we care about that? Why should we care about how we communicate and specifically the questions when we want to get deeper, more in love, more connected, more intimate? Why do our questions really matter? Well, the key here is if you are constantly narrowing in your focus in a relationship as maybe that person that thinks more long term and more frequently, you are exactly what you said, babe. Narrowing one person in to maybe a time perspective that they haven't thought about, or maybe they're just trying to go with the flow. And so in this example, it was, will we still be at this house 10 years from now? Now that one question might seem innocent to that person asking it, but the person receiving that question, the feminine in this relationship, it immediately put her into fight or flight mode and immediately consolidated, yeah, and overwhelmed her and induced a ton of anxiety, which is what was disconnecting them.
Okay, so let's bring up a couple things here. Number one is time perspective. Let's explain what that is.
Yeah.
So time perspective is nothing more or less than who thinks... Okay, so...
Who thinks further out.
Yeah, who thinks further out. But it's not necessarily that. Time perspective is the concept of how far out you think. So... If you think of a pet or an animal, they don't have a long time perspective. You don't see a dog planning their next day. But they're super pumped.
They're not planning for Christmas.
But they are super pumped, like little Tucker. He'll get super pumped if we say we're going to go for a walk.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get super pumped and then super disappointed if we aren't leaving for the walk within 5 minutes.
Immediately, yeah.
So Tucker's time perspective is about 7 minutes, yeah. I think we found.
Pretty much.
Before he gets very upset of, like, why aren't we walking? You said we were going to the dog park.
You liars.
Yeah, you've lied to me again. And so Emilia and I, in our relationship, we have similar time perspectives. We think very far out. As a matter of fact, yeah. You are the first relationship I've ever been in, intimate relationship, maybe relationship actually ever, mm-hmm. who thinks longer term than I do. And that's been fascinating to be on the other end of it. Now, that's what time perspective is. You got some people think a day out, some people think a week out, some people think a month out, some people a quarter, some people a year, some people decades. And then some
very
people beyond
few.
Their own life.
I was just going to say, I want to layer into this dialogue how it gets fewer and fewer people who,
yeah.
The longer and longer the time perspective is, the fewer and fewer people are on that end. So honestly, a lot of people are literally just living in the moment and not really even thinking beyond the day. So they're in the one meeting that they're at, they're in that one conversation that they're at, and like, they're literally just going with the flow. They're not even planning the next day.
And so the idea here is psychologists call this the ability to project.
Mm-hmm.
So
forecast.
you can, what'd you say?
Forecast.
That's, yeah. You can forecast into the future. You can project into the future,
mm-hmm.
and you can go through things in your imagination without having to do them. So you don't have to look, you don't have to get hit by a car to know to look both ways type
right.
of thing. Okay. So time perspective, human beings have this quality more than any other animal. I think dolphins are probably next, or primates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into that.
That's
so that's time perspective.
One of the things that makes our species the most dominant species ever.
Yes.
Fun fact.
Because we can think
ahead.
We can
do that. Yeah.
We can build buildings. We can do blueprints. We can think ahead. We can think about and build something starting today.
Yep.
And the house and the castle will be built 10 years
It's
from
so
now.
Cool.
It's very, very cool.
I nerd out over this topic.
Same. So now here's the thing. And I don't want anyone to get offended or to be offended or to feel bad if their partner is or is not ahead or behind in this.
Or suppressed.
The prefrontal cortex, the executive function of the mind, is something that needs to be developed and can be developed.
Yep.
Like a 7-year-old can't project into the future as far as they can when they're 14, as far as they can when they're 21, et cetera, et cetera. It's
very
a muscle.
Few.
It's a muscle that needs to be built over time.
One of the things that people come up against again and again, and I know I'm kind of jumping in here to pitch and catch with you, is like ever ask a 7-year-old what they want to be when they grow up. They literally can't even think of it. And so the fewer and fewer people, if you were to say, like, what do you want to go to college for?
Or they
what
would
do you want
say
to do?
Something like a firefighter,
right.
A police officer, or an astronaut, but they don't really know what that actually means.
Exactly, exactly. So it's just that. It's that in a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, can go back in a time where maybe they were headed into college, or maybe they were asked that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And while it was more of an imaginative exercise, it probably wasn't a straight logistic, strategic, analytical, how do we reverse engineer that outcome.
Hi everybody, I'm Caleb and this is my beautiful wife Angela. We're pretty new clients to Al and Amelia and their conscious couples coaching.
Yeah, I think we started back in early 2022 around February, and our relationship has completely shifted in a few short months.
I think one of the biggest takeaways from working with them was our communication, which I believe is an obstacle for most couples. I was talking to Ange in a way that I would understand, but it wouldn't connect to her, which caused some arguments, but Al and Amelia were able to point that out, and now I can talk to her how she's going to understand. She can do the same for me.
Yes, our communication is way better than it's ever been. We've been together for about 6 years now, and as well as just really figuring out what our core values personally are, but as well as what they are in our relationship, so being able to communicate from that space is really valuable. So thank you, Alan and Amelia, for everything you've done and for leading the way.
Okay, so let's do a little exercise right now with all of our listeners. Everyone, if you're not driving, close your eyes. Amelia and I are going to do that as well.
Let's do it.
Okay, so now think about yourself a day from now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you have that vision in your mind. Now think about yourself a week from now. Picture that vision in your mind. And maybe you're eating pizza like I am. I'm kidding. Now picture yourself a month from now.
Mm-hmm.
Picture yourself now a quarter from now. Now picture yourself a year from now. It's 2025.
Mm.
Now picture yourself in a decade. Now what the science has shown...
Should we open our eyes now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Open your eyes. What the science has shown, they've done studies, is that they've hooked people up to fMRIs while doing that exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And some people could only imagine a stranger.
Right.
And you and I, I'm certain, could imagine ourselves. And
right.
We know what we're going to look like, feel like, all that kind of stuff. Within reason, again, you can't guarantee anything. But for those of you who did that exercise with us, that gives you an idea of what your time perspective is. One more quick analogy. Obviously, I'm obsessed with time perspective. Chess players.
Mm-hmm.
The novice can think 2 to 3 moves ahead. The beginner.
Mm-hmm.
The novice can think 3 to 5 moves ahead. The amateur can think 5 to 7 moves ahead. The expert can think 7 to 9 moves ahead. The master can think 10 to 12 moves ahead. The grandmaster can think 15 moves ahead. As a matter of fact, grandmaster chess players can barely look at the board and play 15 people with blindfold on and then look at the board and make their moves. So they can play 15 chess games simultaneously and beat all the masters.
Mm.
It's this wild thing. But it's because they trained for years and decades,
right,
and that kind of thing.
Which is what you're highlighting for our conscious couples and conscious singles,
yeah,
which are listening, is it is a skill and it can be cultivated. Some people just might be more naturally predisposed and have maybe, let's say, parents that were people who thought ahead more and planned more. And so obviously those type of people have repetitions in already their belts that they're coming into the relationship with.
And that may or may not have been our situation growing up. But okay, so to transition it here is, number one, first question, who has the longer time perspective,
mm-hmm,
in the relationship? You already know intuitively, right, wrong, or indifferent, who has the longer time perspective? Number two, is there a situation, and this is where I want to kick it to Amelia with the open-ended versus closed-ended questions,
mm-hmm,
because quite frankly, I haven't studied that.
Yeah.
I don't really know what we're talking about. So can you give an example, sweetheart, where I gave a closed-ended question and you felt caged by that?
Mm. So
Or can you give an example of a closed-ended question?
A very general practical one that I can give is, do you want this for dinner? Literally, do you want this for dinner? It's like a classic example that like couples will go out and eat dinner, or they'll go on a date and it's like,
do you want to go to Qdoba?
Well, the big difference here is like, what do you want to eat? And that question that's an open-ended question, and that might overwhelm
Might be overwhelming.
Exactly. What do you want to eat?
And too closed might also be cagey.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's an open-ended question where in maybe more of a flowy state, you might be excited to do an exploratory process of like, well, I don't know. What do you want to eat? You know, like, and go back and forth and then kind of start to narrow down into what would be a closed-ended question, which is, so do you want this appetizer? Do you want the buffalo chicken wings with the celery on the side with the cauliflower? And the answer is yes or no. And that's the closed-ended question. Closed-ended question, you can answer with a yes or a no. An open-ended question is more of an exploratory creative process.
Where do you want to go this weekend?
Is more collaborative. Exactly. Where do you want to go this weekend? So someone who has a longer-term perspective in the relationship, maybe that's you listening right now, you might find yourself oftentimes wanting the concrete evidence that comes from closed-ended questions. Why? Because you're trying to reverse engineer an outcome between the two of your relationships. So let's say, for example, Alan and I both wanted to understand what you and I's time perspective was to live in this house. We would likely want to kind of corner each other into what specific, are we going to be here in 10 years?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Are we going to be here in
5 years?
5 years. No. Are we going to be here? And we could continue to go in that. And then,
are we going to be here in 6 minutes?
Is it?
No.
Yes. No, but that's different to like narrow in on the critical information that might help us understand and get on the same page.
Versus where are we going to live in the future? And then you start talking about New Zealand and all kinds of cool stuff.
Right.
Which is more open-ended.
Right.
And
creative, exploratory type of conversation that might, from someone who's trying to pinpoint concrete data that they can build upon,
which is what I'm always
might
doing,
feel
by the
so
way.
Difficult.
I'm so sorry. Right. I'm realizing that did this to Emilia on a walk. We were on a walk once and we had a whole game plan. We had a general outline of where we're going to live and homes and how we're going to leapfrog and finances. We reverse engineered it down to the square foot, basically.
Pretty much.
And I'm a numbers guy. Yeah. So we're on a walk.
He needs the numbers.
We're on a walk. And we're thinking about buying another home in the next year and a half, right? And I'm thinking about that big time. I'm reverse engineering on the day-to-day how we're going to get there. And we're on a walk, and she's like, oh, it would be so nice to live in New Zealand. And I was like, oh my God, I thought we were going to move somewhere warm in the U.S. I thought we talked about this. I immediately started freaking out.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm being playful. She said, Alan, I mean like in the future, like a decade from now.
10 years from now. So that was a great moment of a mismatch of how the closed-ended question, unless you articulate what time frame you're actually looking for, can freak the longer-term person in that situation.
Yeah.
You were actually the shorter-term person than I was in that. So,
but just so you're aware, I do have a client from New Zealand who does home staging. She has her own real estate business.
Yep.
And I have a home picked.
Perfect.
And I know the price point. So it's going to take more than a year and a half, but it's on the ocean. It's going to be awesome. So I'm being playful with that. I obviously have done some research and I do have that client, but I don't have a specific home pick.
Okay. Right. So when it comes to the open-ended question, what is the benefit of that? How can you leverage the differences between the two of you in your relationship? Because let's be real, statistically speaking, most people have either two people that are in a short-term relationship, or not short-term relationship, they have two short-term perspectives in the relationship. Then they have the opposite of that, which is short-term person one, long-term person two. It's very uncommon and more rare to have two people in a relationship that are both long-term thinkers. So with that being said, it's critical for us to understand what is an open-ended question and what does that look like in the real world in experiences, and what is the benefit of that when it comes to whether you're in a relationship with a long-term thinker or if you are in a relationship with two people that are short-term thinking.
Okay. We're going to have to do another episode a little bit more on this.
Yeah.
But I just want to try to give a synopsis before we go, because we got 2 minutes.
Perfect.
All right. So first and foremost, two concepts to dial in here. If you have a notebook, write this down. If you're driving, please don't. Mm-hmm. Number one, time perspective. Who has a longer time perspective, you or your partner?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you consider yourself a short-term thinker or a long-term thinker?
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider your partner a short-term thinker or a long-term thinker? Obviously, this is a spectrum, but we want to kind of use buckets to understand ourselves here. Okay, so the next piece is you and your partner. Is it one short, one long? Is it too short or is it too long? Done. And then the next and last piece here is, are you asking open-ended questions or closed-ended questions?
To try to build the future together.
Yes. And at the end of every Relationship Talks coaching session, Emilia and I always give homework. So mm-hmm. we kind of are going to do that on this episode. So your homework is to figure out those two things and to try to start at least becoming aware of what your tendency is.
Yeah.
I'm going to personally do this as well. We lead by example. I'm going to start thinking to myself when I ask a question, whether it's open-ended or closed-ended
mm-hmm.
from now on, and that will raise my awareness, and then I'll come back with more understanding.
Yeah. So, you know, in closing, if you want to have more exploration and get to know each other at a deeper level, and in this case with this couple, while the male in the relationship couldn't necessarily be involved in the tactical day-to-day logistics of their relationship, however, he wanted to be kind of involved from the process and decision-making that his partner was doing, the antidote to that as a long-term thinker was to ask his partner more open-ended questions, to really get in that exploratory phase of their relationship so that he could understand what was going on in the mind, in the heart, and the soul of his partner.
Yeah, a question that opens her up, gets her expressing, now mm-hmm. he understands, now they can be a team, now they can grow together and yeah. not apart.
And he can collect the data that he needs to help reverse engineer whatever finish line they're both trying to get to.
Awesome.
So okay. With that being said, we hope that this episode was super helpful for you. I know that this is a lot in one episode, and I'm looking forward to future episodes where we can dig a little bit deeper in terms of the short and long-term benefits of leveraging the strengths in that in your relationship.
So if you have not ever considered Relationship Talks coaching, now is the time. As you know, it's us four in a virtual room, and there's a great ping-ponging of ideas that happens that just creates this absolute magic. Even that couple that was the inspiration for this episode, they connected in a way they may never have had yeah. they not gotten in that room with us four.
Definitely.
Emilia and I are going to parse out, for lack of better phrasing, the ways in which you're missing each other.
Yeah.
You and your partner are missing each other most likely in these certain regards. And we've done this enough times to know that there's always that
yeah.
stuff beneath the surface that is not getting through.
Right.
And so we're going to help you with that. Relationship Talks Coaching, the first one is free. We do a free half hour every week. Please book on our calendar. The link will be in the show notes.
The link that you'll see, the second link in the show notes, will also be your registration link for our next free live virtual event, which is Relationship Talks Event, the four biggest relationship killers. And that's going to be at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We host those every single month, but this month you're not going to want to miss. It's the 21st of March, and we'll see you there.
So it'll be this coming Thursday.
Yes.
If you're listening to this episode when it launches,
it'll be this Thursday.
It'll be this Thursday. Yeah. Please join us. And we hope to see you there.
We hope to see you there.
As always, thank you so much for listening to the Conscious Couples podcast. We also appreciate you conscious singles out there
trying
to attract your dream partner by building yourself. We hope that you are all flourishing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, it's not about you or me. It's about
the
pizza.
Or pizza and pizza all the time.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Conscious Couples podcast. We love connecting with the Conscious Couples community, so please make sure you follow us on Instagram. I am at Evolve with Emilia, and Alan is alazarus88.
Also, if you or your partner resonated with this episode, leave us a review at the link in the show notes, and please share this with someone you love and care about.
Until next time, remember, it's not about you or me. It's about
the we.